Our next guest is just one of the cool kids in the room. I love every time she's on our program. The name of the new book is How to Work a Room by Susan Rowan. It's the classic best-selling self-help book on improving communication and socialization skills in business and life, giving you the confidence and tools to walk into pretty much any room and shine. Believe it or not, it's the 25th anniversary edition of the book. It's fully revised and updated, incorporating new research on interaction and the role of technology and social media in networking with her tips for using digital strategies to your advantage. She lays down the fundamentals for savvy socializing, whether at a party, a conference, or online, with practical advice for starting conversations and strengthening rapport with strangers. Again, the book, How to Work a Room, the ultimate guide to making lasting connections in person and online, fully revised and updated, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Susan Rowan back to the roundtable. Susan, thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, I'm so delighted to be back with you. Listening to your introduction, I think I grew to be 6'4".
Well, wonderful. It's always a pleasure having you with us. You know, I love this book, and it just gets better and better because you take it. How many times have you updated this? Do you recall?
This is the fourth edition in 25 years.
And I guess it's fascinating to sort of look back at where we are as far as communication and interacting with one another, and really how that very simple, age-old practice has indeed changed.
And it has. First of all, I was holding the original book and this book. This book has 100 more pages. It weighs more. But it's because there's so many new rooms to work. And communication, it's not that people have changed. You know, we're still shy, we're still a little uncomfortable, etc. But the technology has changed the situation that people are in. And we need to know how to respond.
So let us talk about technology. And that is, we assume... I think there's an assumption that it has changed us in some way, shape, or form in the negative. And your book points out that that's not necessarily the case.
No. In fact, I am a big proponent of social media and using technology to augment. But that's not instead of going to events, showing up at parties, you know, showing up at professional conferences. And I'm afraid, Joe, there's some people that do too much online and they don't accept the invitations where they're going to have to see someone face-to-face.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is create a balance. Someone once said to me, well, being face-to-face is better. Well, of course, I think it is. I wrote the book. But the reality is it's not an either-or. In this day, it's a both-and. We have to be able to do both.
We have talked in the past, and I find this to be an amazing figure, that 95% of the people self-identify as shy.
You know, isn't that amazing? And, Joe, that's one of the changes. When I first wrote How to Work a Room, the research was that it was about 80% of us self-identify as shy. By the time I wrote, I think it was the second or third iteration, it had jumped to the 90s, and they asked Dr. Zimbardo, who started the Stanford Shyness Clinic, what did you attribute this big jump to? Mind you, this was in 2000, and he said technology.
Yeah.
Technology is making us more uncomfortable in face-to-face situations.
And interestingly enough, I mean, I think, again, we've talked about this, but I would probably self-identify as shy as well, which brings up the point that even though people can communicate, even though there are people who can do it and go into a room, and I love the title of the book because it's How to Work a Room, it indicates that doing that is indeed work.
Oh, my goodness. If we define work, which it is defined as the expenditure of energy, how to work a room, going into even a party or someone's wedding, we come home, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
Because if you are there to meet, to have a good time, to connect with people. You're putting forth energy, information, a bit of your soul. And that does take work. And that, in fact, someone said to me once, one of my Illinois Chicago friends said, you know, you gave the book the wrong title. Really? What title should I have given it? And he said something interesting, Joe. He said, how to make nice in a room.
Mm.
Because really, it is work. But what we're doing is trying to be nice to people, building some rapport, having conversations. And you are right. It is work. And the people that embrace the work are the ones that are not only most successful, but they have the best time.
I think, and you address this, and I think it's important that you can do that, but you have to be genuine, you know, because you can go in there and be fake as well, and almost be like playing a part, but that's not what it's about.
No, it is genuine. And, you know, I have said this before, and you and I have talked about this. Don't worry if you think you're shy. My book has a lot of ideas and techniques. If you like people, that's the genuine aspect. There are people I know that don't like people. And you know what? We can tell. We can tell when you're... And shouldn't we name those people on a website? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But that sounds like such a good idea.
But I think people identify, don't you think a great number of people who would identify themselves as shy would also say that they, quote, don't like people? And yet, that's not it. It has to do more with the uncomfortable feeling they have in relating to other people than it does with not liking people.
Right. And, you know, I'm going to say something about shy people. If you asked me, would you like to be in a room of shy people or people who think of themselves as outgoing? I love being with shy people. I'll tell you why. They're the people that listen. Their eyes aren't darting around the room to see who more important is there or better looking or richer.
Yeah.
And we all know people who do that. Shy people like people. They're just a little uncomfortable, but they're the good listeners. They're paying attention. They've worked very hard to come through their shyness to be to that event. And generally, those are the people I think are wonderful to talk to.
I've always said, this has come up a couple of times, and I said, the next time I have you on the show, I'm going to ask you this, because this is a problem
okay,
I always have, and it probably doesn't relate to a lot of people, but I'm going to ask you anyway. I'm 6 foot six. You walk into a party, you walk into a room, it's crowded, a lot of people talking, and you start having a conversation with people, and there's maybe a foot and a half, even 2 feet difference between you and the other person that you're talking to. I feel like I'm out of the conversation. And I, you know, people want to talk to me, I want to talk to them, and other than going and getting a stool or a chair, I don't know what to do. but I feel...
Now, this is funny, and we should tell the audience that even though we've been on shows together, guess what I'm going to tell you? I'm 4'11".
Yeah, there you go.
And for me, I'm often out of the conversation. In fact, I went to an event, and there were two guys who were about 6'2" talking to each other. They didn't even know I was there.
Yeah, so you're on the other end. Right.
Let me give a hint for this.
Okay.
Because someone... I was once speaking for a corporate group, and the senior VP, who was about 6'3", said to me, "People like you are a pain in the neck." And I looked at him saying, "I beg your pardon?" And he said, "No, literally, looking down and talking to a short person is uncomfortable." What someone else suggested is don't stand next to that person who's tall or short. Do that physics fulcrum thing and stand literally about 10 inches away so you create enough distance so you could have a more comfortable conversation where no one's bending their neck or breaking their neck.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
It does. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where you're at a wedding and there's a whole group of people around, and you say five people in a circle and they're talking, and you realize that there's this conversation going on sort of under you, and you're looking in sort of a satellite view of
of people with a drink in their hand talking, and you're just and also I'll admit I can't hear anything, you know, because the sound is ricocheting off from the other conversations, and I find myself being that person that's just, I'm sorry, what did you say?
You know what? And here's what I say is what I love about being at an event with people like you is it keeps me on my toes. I always make sure I have my hair colored so that you can see if I have roots showing.
Well, that, yes, that's true. And you, and I'm sure, have a different perspective, too, of being on the shorter scale, that, you know, you look up and you know, you get to see that I haven't trimmed my nose hair and stuff like that.
But, you know, this is what we want to say to our listeners. Everyone has a little issue. I know someone who isn't from this country originally, and her issue is she has an accent. So what I want to say to people, whether you're going to a wedding, a party, a professional association, be aware of other people's differences. And this is where I think we have to pay a little more attention and make a little extra effort. Another thing you said, Joe, is important, that you sometimes can't hear.
Yeah.
Now, if we see that someone is cupping their ear because of all that ambient noise and music and conversation, let's make sure we're speaking directly at the person, and let's not cover our mouths.
Right.
You know, I think we all have to be a little bit more sensitive, but hearing it from your perspective is so interesting. I may have to rewrite the book again and put something in there and quote you on the nose hair.
Well,
line.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the 26th edition, anniversary edition. Are you a fan of name tags?
You know, I wasn't. I never was, because I always went over and talked to people. But now I love them, and I'll tell you why. Because these days we are meeting so many more people than we used to, and our parents did, that in order to remember people's names, if we have name tags, we can get a little hint so we're not feeling that, you know, our memory is going. But I want to give the how to work a room tip. If you're at an event with a name tag, place it on your right-hand side. Because when you shake hands with people, that's the line of sight vision to the name tag.
Well, that's a good idea.
And always, if you get to fill out your name tag, don't use a pen. Use a big marker. So those of us that are glancing from afar can actually see.
Yes, and print. This is getting back to the technology, but I mean, you really do. A lot of this is common sense, isn't it, when it comes to dealing with technology at a party? Of you know, turn the phone off and stay connected. You know, stay connected to the conversation, not to the digital world. And a lot of it's common sense, but yet we don't do it.
We don't. And you know what, Joe? I have seen this. People walk into rooms wearing a Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It is so distracting. Please, before you walk into any, even a luncheon with an old friend, take your Bluetooth off. It looks ridiculous. And more than that, the message you're sending is, by the way, anyone who happens to call is more important than you.
And real quick, we only have about a minute left, but you have a chapter in the book on how to work the virtual room. And, you know, so even if you are not face-to-face with the person, of working that network when you're online.
Yes, and, you know, that room could be Facebook. That room could be LinkedIn, whatever. We still must remember that every room has its culture, and we still have to have the best manners possible in whatever room we're in, virtually or face-to-face. And that chapter is a really important chapter, which I think everyone makes them much more adept, and you should run out and buy the book.
There you go.
But those virtual rooms are important.
Well, Susan Rowan is always one of the smartest people in the room. Her book is How to Work a Room, The Ultimate Guide to Making Lasting Connections in Person and Online. It's celebrating its 25th anniversary, and there's a new edition out. It's published by Morrow. Susan, it's always a wonder, just a great time to have you here. I thank you very much, and a wonderful treat. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joe.
A great treat. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.